Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now. Right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We are now accepting applications for this year's Leaders Portfolio Awards, recognizing top businesses and business leaders with their commitment to leadership. Applications are available at leadersportfolio.com. That's leadersportfolio.com. If you think you are a leadership business or a leader, we encourage you to apply for those awards. We're here in the Leaders Portfolio Studio with the CEO of Tista Science and Technology, Mr. Ahmed Ali. Tista is an Inc. 500 company ranked number 429 in 2011. It provides IT and professional services to the federal government. Welcome, Ahmed, to Leaders Portfolio Studios.
Thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate you taking the time to let me be here today.
You are welcome. Why don't we start back with your story? You were in the U.S. Navy, and you worked for a number of defense companies, and then at some point you decided to start your own firm. But let's talk about this process. Let's go back to being in the Navy, and then there was an occurrence right around our national occurrence of September 11th that changed things for you.
Yeah. So prior to the military service, I was in college at University of Maryland in my third year engineering school and basically ran out of money to go to school. I had several friends that were in the military with their advice, and after getting more knowledge about the military, I decided to join the Navy. One of my goals for being in the Navy was hopefully to be a pilot someday. That didn't work out. So I went into the radar and electronics field, and I was stationed, after several years of training, I was stationed on a guided missile destroyer stationed out of Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. I was on active duty for about 6 years, did three tours in the Middle East, in the Persian Gulf area. After 6 years of active duty, I got out of the military in an honorable discharge, and I got a full-time job for working for a small company doing a lot of R&D, research and development, in an engineering practice at the U.S. Naval Academy complex. And I was going to school in the evening, pursuing my graduate degree, and I also worked at the Pentagon as a reservist. So after active duty, I came out and joined the reserves and worked at the Navy Command Center at the Pentagon.
Wow. So you were kind of in the middle of everything that happened.
I was. So when I joined the reserves, several months into it, 9/11 happened. A very unfortunate and horrific incident. Our office was in the basement wing that got hit. So after that, talked to the command. And since I was already, I've already had prior active duty service, it wasn't an obligation for me to stay in if I chose to get out. They encouraged me to pursue my education. My commanding officer at that time and my division officer said, hey, go finish your education, Ahmed. Continue your full-time job. Whenever you'd like to come back, you're welcome to come back. But after that, I've had an operation. I'm a service-disabled veteran, so a few metallic screws in my bone and injured my back in the service. So that prevented me from going back into service. And another area I wanted to pursue after I got out of the military was to be an FBI agent. Look into the FBI service because I felt what the FBI did and Department of Justice did was very important for our national security. And being a former military, I wanted to do my part in not only supporting our government and national security interests, but the field attracted me because they do great work. And people in the FBI, DEA, CIA, NSA, all these three-letter agencies, they really do phenomenal work, and I wanted to be a part of that.
And you've grown, Tista Science and Technology has grown from $623,000 a year to $5.6 million in 3 years.
Yeah, so I started when I got my first job out of the military, it was with a small company. Then after that, I became a government employee at the U.S. Department of Commerce. I was a U.S. patent examiner in the field of computer security and cryptography. And I was a government employee for approximately a year. Then I left government service to go back into the private sector, and I worked for several large defense contractors. And then I worked for DISA in my final job as one of their IA managers. And at that point, I felt I had enough industry and government and military experience and knowledge and education to start a company and grow it the right way, in an ethical way, and in a successful way, and to be a respectable company in the industry. We focus on cybersecurity and IT and engineering and software development and program management type disciplines, but we have been doubling in growth every year. So we incorporated in 2005. That award you just mentioned on the Inc. 500 at $5.6 million, that was from growth from 2009 to 2010. We've already doubled, tripled since then. Last year, we were at about $10 million. This year, we will close over $20 million. So we've seen phenomenal growth, well over 100 to 150 employees continually to grow. We're a service-disabled veteran-owned small business and a certified SBA-certified 8A firm.
Now, how do those two classifications, assist you?
Those two certifications was very instrumental in our initial success model, in our business strategy.
So in the beginning, it helped more than now?
Actually, it's even helping more now. Now that our name is getting out there and we're getting a lot of awards and our name is being recognized as a respectable company in the cybersecurity arena and in the non-IT arena as well, those certifications have been instrumental in setting us apart from other companies who also have the same qualifications, but not necessarily the certifications. And those certifications have made it easier for some agencies to actually contract with us quicker, and we bring that level of expertise that they were looking for.
Excellent. Now, you've done projects for DOJ, IRS, Army National Guard. Name a groundbreaking project that you're working on that you can talk about.
A groundbreaking project that we're working on is, my goodness, there's quite a few, but one of the interesting ones we recently were awarded was with the U.S. Marine Corps in Albany, Georgia. We're very proud of that. One of my core missions in the company is to set the right culture for the company and the foundation where it's a team environment, and there's a lot of people are very interested in wanting to work with us. They enjoy the environment. They enjoy working together. And a lot of the employees we try to hire now are former military. So we were successful and fortunate to bring on some ex-military people who had work with the defense agencies. And two of the people we brought on board was instrumental in getting us into the U.S. Marine Corps, which we're very proud of because we're very proud of that agency.
Excellent. We're speaking with the CEO of TISTA Science and Technology, Mr. Ahmed Ali. TISTA is an Inc. 500 company ranked 429 in 2011. They provide IT and professional services to the federal government. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, and we are going to return and continue this conversation when we get back out of this break. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about his overall leadership philosophy. And one of the things that I'm passionate about is that they support a number of charities, and I found out that Ahmed and I connect on both being a big supporter of children's charities. And so we'll talk about that when we return on Leaders Portfolio.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, in Leaders Portfolio. It's time for your business to apply for this year's Leaders Portfolio Awards. I'm really excited about these because what we wanted to do is say, you know what, there's so much discussion about corrupt businesses in this society or some businesses that have obviously done, international disaster consequences for corrupt behavior. And yet we know that there are a number of businesses, some that sell to the federal government, some that sell to the private sector, that actually do positive leadership practices. And so we wanted to encourage businesses to start to write about those positive leadership practices and then reward those businesses. So if you are a business that does such, we encourage you to apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. These awards are judged by a series of judges, and we come up with the best ones in various categories. If you're a small business under 50 employees or you're a large business over 50 employees, we've got different categories for you. If you are a leader of a business and you also want to apply for Leader of the Year and Leadership Business of the Year, we encourage you to do that. We are very excited about these, and we're going on year three of these awards. Well, we are now back here in the Leaders Portfolio Studios with the CEO of Tista Science and Technology, Mr. Ahmed Ali. Welcome back, Ahmed.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Now, your background is you have a bachelor's in information systems management from the University of Maryland. You have a master's in information assurance from Capital College and an MBA with a concentration in international business from JIU.
Yes.
So, and you mentioned earlier that you had done some of that after military service.
I did all of that after military
service. All of it.
Service.
Okay.
Yes.
And talk about your overall leadership philosophy.
So my leadership philosophy really entails creating a culture within the company that where everybody feels like they have a say, they're respected, there's a team environment, everybody's voice will be heard, they enjoy coming to work, and nobody is considered replaceable. I want everybody to feel that they're a part of the company and what they do matter, and what they do as individuals, we respect them as people, because they are working for us, because they want to not only work a good job, but they want to plan for their career path and support their family and hopefully retire from our company someday. So we want to be able to instill that. Myself, having worked in a lot of large and small companies, I've seen the successes and the failures of these other companies, and I wanted to make sure that I provided the right ingredients for success, so not only the company continues to flourish, but the employees are contributing to that, because any company is only as good as the employees it has in that company.
Mm-hmm.
So the leadership, myself and a few other executives, we can set the vision. But the execution of that will really be coming from the employees who are carrying out those orders and that mission. And it's very important for us to have quality employees, because these are the employees that are representing the company in front of the client. And it's important that we have the right face of the company in everything we do, because ultimately that will reflect back on the company.
Now, you've had some fast growth recently.
Yes.
Mentioned earlier in Inc. 500. Has leadership been harder under fast growth?
You know, one thing I've noticed is once you grow from once you're in the 1 to 10 million range, there's a set of challenges. Once you grow from 10 to 25 million, there's a whole different set of challenges. And I know once we cross that 25 million above, it'll be significantly more challenges. These challenges, these are good challenges. But it's important to be able to sustain that growth and to continue to change as needed, whether it be the management style or the vision, or not necessarily the vision, but more making sure you have the right processes and procedures in place. I may not be the right person to oversee a certain division of the company or lead it. For example, even though I have an MBA, I'm not the best financial guru, so you have to make sure you have a dedicated CFO. Your HR team is intact and growing. You have a strong proposal team, strong accounting team. So these are challenges that companies continue to face as they grow.
Now, we're speaking with the CEO of Tista Science and Technology, Mr. Ahmed Ali. And I can ask you this because you've been a successful contractor of the federal government. Do you think it is, could you have been this successful if you sold to the private sector, or do you believe by this point you would have been more successful?
That's a very interesting question that I thought about myself quite a few times, but my personal strength and my work experience and knowledge really revolves around federal government contracting, the U.S. military, the defense world, the civilian agencies. That's my knowledge base. I have a passion to grow the commercial side, and which we are. We have commercial accounts, but I did not grow those. I brought in people who have that level of expertise. So to answer your question, I think the commercial side has just as good as an opportunity as the federal government side for growth. And that's why we want to continue to try to do things in parallel moving forward.
Have you noticed with the poor economy, have you noticed more? I've seen this trend. That's why I'm asking. Have you noticed more businesses who sold just to the commercial side are now trying to get into federal government?
It's going both ways. There are commercial companies, focused on commercial, that are now trying to get in the government. And there's now contracting companies, government contractors now looking to expand on the commercial side. There's a lot of cutbacks in the federal government. They're scaling down projects, they're rescoping projects, efforts, they're shutting down programs, they're trying to save money. So I've seen that a lot of larger companies have been hit pretty hard as well because the government now wants more competitive rates. That sometimes the larger companies cannot provide because their overhead is so great. And that's where the smaller companies, we can come in and provide that kind of level of knowledge and expertise and bring in the same quality of people just as in a lower rate structure, which is more beneficial for our government entity. So that's where a lot of small businesses are really thriving in the federal government contracting space, especially when they're good, ethical, respected companies that can provide that same level of support as a large company but charge the government less.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the less overhead, we don't have, you know, multiple buildings and, you know, hundreds of VPs and directors. We're very strategic. As a small company such as Tista Science and Technology, we're more focused on ensuring the customer is satisfied with our work, with our performance, and that is our bread and butter. So we're going to go all out to ensure that the work is done in the highest quality and the customer is happy. And so therefore, myself and all the execs also go out to meet the client. A lot of large businesses, you don't have the senior level executives meeting the program people at the government level. At the small companies, you know, it doesn't matter what our title is, whether it's CEO or VP or director, we are out meeting the client, ensuring that they know they have an equal partner in this relationship.
Now, how have you seen we have this kind of economic crisis going on, right?
Yes.
And some people would say it's over. I argue it's not. I think we're heading in the right direction, but there's going to be years of lingering, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of federal spending,
mm-hmm.
do you worry or do you anticipate that there's going to be any reduction in federal spending, or are you not worried because the areas in which there's only going to be a 1% reduction and there's been so much federal spending that it's not really a big deal? Kind of how do you calculate that?
I think there's a two-part answer for that. One is more political, that I probably choose not to expand upon, other than to say that different administrations have different
priorities
that they want to focus on. Some administrations would like to cut back certain agencies or certain programs, where another administration may come in and see those same programs and agencies to be more important, and there's a refocus on that to increase the budget.
So you think the president is fairly critical in that for you? Who's elected? So you're watching this election.
I think everybody in the business world is watching this election. I think ultimately both parties do support small business. There is a focus not only to support the business community, but every agency has a different focus on which agencies or programs are more important to them. On our end, the second part of the question is, on our side, we don't necessarily see a reduction on our skill set, which is really cybersecurity. We're getting into the IT healthcare space. There's a lot of
those
are very strong, growing areas where there's a lot of demand. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to focus the company on a specific track and multiple tracks that where we're supporting agencies where there's a strong need for cybersecurity, healthcare, IT, logistics. These will always continue to be a strong part of every agency's needs and missions.
That's a good
answer. We're in a very instrumental area.
You have this MBA, right? And so when you started in these areas, did you intentionally go in those areas because you knew they were growth areas and know nothing about those areas when you started? Am I catching?
No. So when I left the military, you know, I had an engineering background, and I came out and I developed this love and passion for the computer security world. And as I started working in that field and working for the large companies, small companies, government, and as a government employee, you know, I'm not smarter than anybody else. What I can say is I've been exposed to so much, and I've worked around the right agencies, the right people, the right companies to really have a good level of understanding of what the mission, critical mission needs are of the federal government. And that's what I chose to focus not only my core personal professional skill set toward, but what I wanted to position the company to continue to support, because I saw a dramatic need there. Mm-hmm. And when we started, there weren't a lot of small companies that were strong in cybersecurity. So I wanted to develop a practice where we became a strong cybersecurity company, providing those level of support and services and expertise and technologies. And because I have been able to bring in the right industry experts and professionals from the industry into my company, these people ultimately, my employees and my executive team and my delivery people are the ones that have continued to grow that company, our company, and continue to grow those accounts and continue to expand us our footprint within various agencies.
Now, we are speaking with the CEO of TISTA Science and Technology, Mr. Ahmed Ali. And one of the things that we share in common is that you believe strongly that business should support charity and give back.
I do.
And so you've done the American Legion Child Welfare Foundation as well as the VFW. But in general, one of the things that you believe in is children's causes. And there's a backstory here, which I'd like you to share with our listeners.
Sure.
Which is your brother passed away.
I'd be honored to share that. I am the only child. My parents lost their first child when he was a young baby. So my parents never really got over that. My father, it was even till this day, he still thinks about it. And as we were growing up, he developed a strong sense of pride in supporting children's causes. Children who were battered children, homeless children, children without education, children without food. So I helped my father develop an orphanage in a third world country. And that was a very powerful time for me, powerful learning experience, to clarify. And I learned a lot from that and gained a great level of respect and for the mission of a lot of these organizations that support children's causes. And I said to myself, if I'm able to successfully grow this company, a promise that I did make to myself is that I would at all costs give back to the community, specifically children's causes. Now, I know there's a lot of great charity type events out there for women, for men, for children, everything. But because of our personal family history, I chose to focus on one so I could do it right and be good at it and really make a difference. And I chose to focus on children's causes. I sponsor children in Africa and third world countries. I build orphanages. So this is something I have a personal passion for.
Mm-hmm.
My father's retired. He's a retired federal government employee. He lives with me. And my father and I, you know, on our off time, time. You know, we go fishing, we watch movies, but, you know, on offside, we look at supporting children's causes together, and that's a personal ambition of mine.
That's great. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Totally, absolutely a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Forbes business quote for you. This is from Cicero. There is not a moment without some duty. There is not a moment without some duty. And I picked this because of your military background.
Yes.
So talk about your thoughts on that.
You know, that's a, to me, that's a pretty interesting statement because it says so much, and it's very important because what it's, to me, the way I'm understanding that is it's saying at every moment in time, you should be trying to do something constructive and positive and trying to make a difference. That's what that quote means to me. So no matter what you are doing in your life, in your profession, there should always be every moment you should look into thinking about how do I do the right thing? How do I continue to learn? How do I continue to learn from my experiences? How do I learn from my mistakes? How do I improve myself as an individual, as a professional? You know, sometimes in this business world, a lot of leaders, you know, come into this period where they think they have it all figured out, or they, because of their what they worked in, how many years they worked, their education. And one thing I've learned in this industry is you've never figured anything out.
Yeah.
Every day is a learning experience. You know, so I learn every day, not only from what goes on a day-to-day basis, but from my employees, my family, people I interact with. I'm learning a lot here just being here today.
So. I do too. My theory is that if I learn from you guys, then I've done a good show, I hope.
No,
our listeners will know.
It's a great show, and I'm honored to be here.
Well, thank you for coming, Mr. Ahmed Ali, CEO of Tista Science and Technology. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's been an honor.
Mr. Ahmed Ali's interview, of course, will be at leadersportfolio.com. And I am Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. I want to thank our senior producer, Dr. Ohlers, and the production team, Adrian, Miguel, Jennifer, Christine, and Yair. And our sponsors, Dennis Co. Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership. This has been Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith asking you, what's in your portfolio?